and embracing our own friends and members who are constituencies in various parts of our country. And we hope that we'll be able then to work together on our firm for many years to come. And then, of course, we always appreciate your colleagues who come before the committee, to also appreciate the fact that members of parliament are lawmakers, broadly speaking. Their interest really is to understand the challenges faced by whatever formation or federation, but also to have a thorough discussion and engagement on issues that are pertaining to sport and transformation. We think that is very important for all of us to do that in order for us to work together. And we always take a view that that any presentation should be presented to members of parliament 7 days before the meeting. We always discourage presentation right in the meeting because it doesn't allow members of parliament enough time to engage with your presentation when they come here, they are prepared. Because what we don't want to do is have a one-way traffic. Because our meetings are for engagement, really. They're not just for people reporting and going, for real engagement on critical issues of our country, around sport, around job creation, and around the challenges, the broad challenges that are facing us, in a specific role of sport in trying to resolve some of those issues. We think that really, we highly appreciate that. Under normal circumstances, we wouldn't really allow anyone to make any presentation if it didn't give us 7 days before. And because it's just you talking to yourself, it's not assisting you also as a presenter. We'll only be assisted if yourself you have engaged with the document. Do some of our research to ensure that the meeting become a very meaningful meeting. That will assist you and also assist us to do the work. And we should then, honorable members, take some apologies and for an apology. Okay, let us then proceed. We will invite the team from SASCOC. First, you have to introduce yourself by the fact that we know you have to put it on record and then they make your presentation. Thank you very much.
As an old school teacher, I prefer to stand and speak to honorable members. Good morning, sir, honorable members. Chair. I am in the company of our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Cazzarelli, and the head of the campaign to London, and also High Performance, Ezra Chilongo. I'm Gideon Sam, the head of the organization. Our apologies, Chair, if our presentation did not arrive 7 days before, but we will endeavor to rectify that. Also then, just on behalf of the team, to say thank you very much for the opportunity. You members will recall, members who have been around for a long time, that we've always asked for these opportunities so that we can engage and you can engage with us. The way we are going to do it, honorable members and honorable chair, is that Rivera will paint the picture. And then the Chief Executive Officer will then talk about some of the challenges that he experiences in executing what Ezra is saying. And then I will then come in at number three and then address the honorable members. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Okay, Chief Executive Officer, I've been introduced also. Thank you very much for coming. This you can then take the floor and make a presentation.
Honorable members, the presentation will cover the road to London since we started the campaign from 2009. Basically, the way we have covered the presentation is for us to take you through the selection policy, because that's one of the issues that's been in the media in terms of ensuring that the members understand the rationale for certain policies and how we drafted those policies. Basically, what happened is we have the IOC and the IF and the ICC also doing policies which are international policies. However, we are allowed as the National Olympic or National Paralympic Committee to actually put riders on those policies specific for our country. And what we did was in 2010 we finalized the General Selection and Eligibility Policy, so federations knew upfront what they needed to do in terms of being eligible to qualify for the Games. And what we then did was we analyzed the various international sport-specific policies in order for us to ensure that when we draft the sport-specific policies for the country, everyone is on par. We then had meetings with the various national federations in 2010, where we went through the policy with them and their preparation plans for London. After that, when we finalized the policies, we went back and forth with some of the federations whereby they requested certain clauses to be taken off or certain amendments to be made, and for some policies, that was done. And then with all the policies, like we do procedurally, we then took them to the board for ratification before the signing by the federations. And if you do go to our website, all those policies are on the SACSOC website and signed by the president of the various national federations. And in terms of the selection of athletes, contrary to popular belief, the athletes are selected by the national federations in line with the policy that we agree on. And they then give those athletes to SACSOC. What we then do is we actually do the ratification in line with the policy. We then took those teams that are submitted to the board of SACSOC to ratify, say yes, we agree that these athletes will be going to the Olympics or the Paralympics, and then the team is announced. Only then that we then take the team as members of Team South Africa. But until such time that we have announced the team belongs to the National Federation in terms of preparation. In terms of women's hockey, which has been the major debate over the past 2 years, but we are happy that they have qualified and we are putting right in terms of the political space. We have quality athletes in this country who can actually qualify at a higher level. They basically have one tournament in Africa. And our argument was, but you can't tell us that with four countries playing in a tournament, you actually then qualify to go to the Olympics. And these are the countries that were at that tournament in Bulawayo, which was an Olympic qualifier for the African continent. They are currently ranked 12 in the world, and they say, you go to the Olympics, you rank 12 in the world, you haven't proven yourself against the best in the world, then it's going to be tough in London. And what we then did is, after the discussions with them, we put a rider on the selection policy for hockey to say that you will have to be in the final of the Champions Challenge, which was last year, but then they failed to do that. So there was back and forth communication between the IOC and the International Hockey Federation, and eventually they allowed them, after the intervention of SACSOC, to actually participate at the current tournament, which just ended over the weekend in India, which they won and qualified for London. So that was the process that we went back and forth with hockey. And currently we are facing one of the issues with our para table tennis, where in terms of our policy, it's different from the other sports where you qualify the slots in the Paralympics. This one, you actually qualify the athletes. And our current policy, which we signed with the South African Table Tennis Board, was that the athletes have to be ranked in the top 8 in the world for them to qualify through the regional championship, which is Africa. However, the athletes that we have currently are ranked outside the top 20 in the world. And the one other rider that we have put on most policies is that if the athlete is actually a junior athlete, when will still be eligible to participate in the 2016 Rio Olympics and Paralympic Games, we will then consider those athletes as part of the development progression of the various junior athletes to go to the Games. However, most of the athletes that are in the, outside the top 20 are actually 48, 41, so we say, but then you won't be eligible to go to the Games in Rio. And then the other rationale, I thought we'll share this slide with you in terms of our policies. What we did is we did an analysis in terms of all the games we've delivered in SACSOC. And what we found is that with a stricter policy, we are actually producing more quality. If you look at the All Africa Games, for argument's sake, in terms of 2007, where 400 athletes, and who brought about 181 medals, as compared to the 213 athletes who took to Mozambique last year, and who brought 151 medals in Spain. We can actually take lesser athletes who can produce even better results. And if you look at the graph, it also shows, I mean, the Winter Olympics are the ones that we've really been doing best in. However, we've only been taking one or two athletes. And that's one issue that we are addressing with snow sports in terms of how do we develop winter sports in the country to ensure that there's more athletes participating in these various sports. And in terms of the status quo, the athletes that have qualified or the sport is a qualified four athletes, which is one woman and three men in the marathon. So these are the athletes who have run the eight qualifying times, because as compared to the other events in athletics, for marathons, we have made the concession that they only need to run the eight qualifying time only once, not twice as compared to the other sports. In canoeing, we only have one woman who has qualified for the K1500. And then in cycling, we got the slot, one slot for men, and people are still qualifying. We believe that we'll get more slots because then it will work better for us. Football, as you all know, has qualified. It will be 18 women. So they've given us their provisional squad. However, when we get to the team announcement, Safa needs to decide who are the 18 players that will represent the country at the Olympics. In terms of rowing, we have qualified the women's pair and the men's lightweight four. Then in terms of hockey, which qualified recently over the weekend, 16 women that will be going. So similarly, South African hockey needs to decide who are the 16 women that will represent the country at the Olympics. In terms of the Paralympics, which was the slot, and we're just waiting the International Paralympic Committee to confirm exactly how many slots we have. And athletics, we've done well previously in the Paralympics. Cycling, we've got two slots that have qualified. Equestrian, we've got four slots, which is three women and one man. And then swimming, we've got three slots. And then wheelchair basketball, which has qualified. And basketball, football, men, gymnastics, handball, and more than pentathlon and taekwondo have not qualified. So those are the sports that at the moment we're not looking at because they have started to qualify and they're qualifying through some of them have ended. And the rest of the federations, as you may have picked up, are trying to qualify and we believe that we will get more from swimming and athletics. In terms of operation excellence, we started the program as well early as compared to the previous games where by February 2009 we engaged with the federation, requested them to give us the names of the athletes that are eligible to receive the Operation Excellence Program. And what we had done with the program is we had actually relaxed the qualification for that program where initially we said we should be top 16 in the world to receive support from SASFOC in terms of preparation for the Olympic Games. Then we then moved to say, okay, let's move to the top 12. However, at the present moment, we said we're getting stricter. You need to be in the top 8 in the world because we believe that if you are in the top 8, you actually then have a chance to be in the final at the game, which then increases the probability of being on the podium. And we started the support in July 2009. And also what we did is we appointed project teams early on in May 2009. So all the project teams that are working in the office have been working on the project since May 2009. And then also we identified the pre-game training camp very early in August. And we signed with Cardiff and with St. Mary's in Twickenham. And swimming managed to test Cardiff last year. And they then decided, you know what, we want to move our base in terms of just prior to the game, which we have allowed swimming to do. Then also we've appointed the chef de mission earlier on in 2010. And the chef de mission for the Olympic Games is Mr. Manisela Madeka, the president of basketball. And also for the Paralympics is Peter Badenhorst from the Paralympic Movement. Then also in terms of the chief medical officers, these were appointed early on, and it has helped us to actually, if there are injuries, we refer them now directly to the chief medical officers of the various games in order for them, when they get to the games, they are familiar with the various stages of the various athletes as compared to the past. And then in terms of from now leading to the games, what we have done is it will be the launch of the team mascot, and this one we will be engaging the whole country in terms of deciding who the mascot will be, and there's quite a few that are shortlisted. And what has happened is it was sent to various agencies throughout the country, which is about 250 of them, and those that are shortlisted will be in the drum room and in the note in February. So we request you to also participate and vote for the mascot that will represent both the Paralympics and the Olympics for the country. In terms of the opening ceremony outfit, what we will do, I mean, you know that we were number 6 for Beijing, but now we will engage our top designers in the country and be proud of South Africans. And we will also request the public to participate in terms of deciding what will be our opening ceremony outfit. In terms of the kit launch, we will be launching the kit for the team on the 4th of April. And in June, on the 7th, will be our first team announcement officially. So that will be the day when, after we've announced that, we'll be officially taking over Banyana Banyana, Kenwin, and the various athletes that have qualified. They will then be under our wing. In terms of the Paralympics, we will do the full team announcement because this is different from the Olympics where they will still be qualified. So on the 20th of June, you will know the entire Paralympic team to the game. The 4th of July will be our second team announcement for the Olympics and hopefully the last one because most of the athletes, in terms of the quality, we had indicated and agreed with the Federation that the 30th of June will be the cutoff, including Mercedes. In terms of the 17th of July, that's when the team will assemble for departure to London. We will then have the Olympic Games banquet on the 18th of July. We will still confirm the venue. And the team will depart the country on the 19th of July for arrival in London on the 20th. So it will give us about 7 days prior to the opening ceremony for them to settle, acclimatize, and be ready for the game. In terms of the Paralympics, their pre departure will be on the 15th of August. And on the 16th, similarly, they'll have a banquet. And then they will depart for the Paralympics on the 17th of August. And the games will be from the 29th of August to September 9th. In terms of the support teams that we've put over the past 3 years, is we have the High Performance Commission chaired by Mr. Chase Nyden, who's in our board and the president of the Senate. And within that board, these are the people who are giving us key technical and scientific input. Dr. Shoaib Manjwa, who is the chair of the Medical and Anti-Doping Commission. We've got Marsha Maresha, who's the hockey captain, who is representing the athletes, and she's also on the board of directors. We've got Mr. Evan Bennett, who is from the coaches. So we have all these people giving input, and we have Professor Wayne Denman from the Sports Science Institute in terms of medical issues, Professor Abel Toriola in terms of scientific issues, Peter Barenholz in terms of the Paralympics, and Neil Verana, who is the physiotherapist. So all these people will look at various issues and present to them and give us their input. However, over and above that, we felt that there was a need for a specific London 2012 special advisory group, which then included the coaches. So if you see, some of the people were moved from the High Performance Commission to play that dual role. However, we then added Bafana Sitlali, who is the chief physiotherapist for the Olympics now in London. And we also added Justin Durant from the Sports Science Institute, who has been involved previously with various international athletes. Then we also brought in Dr. Tony Kedbrand because technology, he is from the CSIR, and technology plays a huge role, and we managed to get them some support so that they can support athletes. So then we've got video footage which has been analyzed for various athletes that have been involved with. We've got Dr. Suzanne Ferreira, who is the coach for the para-athletics, and she's also a sports scientist to give in input. We've brought in the coaches like Sheikh Mashaba, Roger Barrow, who is the rowing coach, Ezekiel Sipeng from Athletics, and Graham Hill, who is the head coach for the swimming. And our rationale for this was that sometimes as scientists, we tend to look at things differently. However, when you bring the coaches to the mix, they actually brought in that practical element to say, as a coach, this is what I need, this is what has worked, this is what has not worked. And it has been very helpful because we managed to look at all the athletes that have the possibility to qualify and actually look at individual cases. In terms of the other support teams that are there, obviously from the National Federation, they have that support system, even though, I mean, it has been difficult for some federations due to financial reasons. And then we've got a group of psychologists or mental skills training specialists who actually have been assisting the athletes since 2009. And we have allowed the athletes to actually choose their own psychologists because there may be certain issues which are confidential, which we also cannot be dealing with, but they are able to talk to someone about that. But also there is a group of sports physicians throughout the country which is geographically spread so that if there is an injury or there is a case, an athlete can can be referred to that particular person. And also we have the various high performance centers throughout the country, including the HPC in Pretoria, Potchefstroom, Stellenbosch University, and so forth. In terms of the investment to date, and through OFAC, we've managed to dispense about 33.8 million. And in terms of the Olympic solidarity, we managed to get about 1.4 million from the IOC to support about 9 athletes trying to qualify for the Games. Then what we then did is we actually looked at the heart rate interval monitoring system, which is a system that is being used by the Sports Science Institute to actually monitor athletes' training. And for the first time that we did this, we were able to see how are the coaches training the athletes. That monitoring is helping. If the athlete is not recovering properly, we are able to pick up what is red flag. We then either get to know that it's an injury or that athlete there's really certain problems that are there. There's a referral system, whether they refer to the psychologist or the physiologist, so it has helped that way. What we then also did is with a system called the Podium, which is run by Sports Link for Strider. This system allows us to be able to track performances throughout the world. When you log on, you're able to do country comparisons, you're able to do athlete comparisons, and you know we know now the probabilities, what the world thinks will bring in terms of medals, even though some of those things we dispute. And this slide will just show you in terms of the allocation to the athletes from 2009 to date, even though obviously there will still be more money that is being spent in the next 5 months. In terms of the way forward, the Federation has submitted their requirements for the next 5 months, and we need in the region of about 20 million rand or so to still assist the athletes to qualify, because over and above the Operation Excellence program, there's about 300 or so athletes who still believe that they can qualify in the next 5 months. So those are the funds that we actually require to assist those athletes. Then we did the final retail to London last week, where we actually know now that this is where we're going to be staying. We've done in space planning because the block that we've chosen that block for both the Olympic and the Paralympic team. So we were able to say if the Olympic team leaves, these are the things that we will be leaving behind, taking into consideration the Paralympic team that we'll be moving in 2 weeks after us. And then this Friday we'll be having our meeting with the federations in terms of the Olympic code, where we'll be taking them through certain rules and regulations, things to do and what not to do, and share information with them. And the next one we will have with them will be in June. The Paralympics will also be doing a similar meeting. Then we'll continue monitoring the preparation and actually hoping that there are no other injuries, because we've got some of the injuries, athletes to injuries. And then we're working with the Institute for Drugs and Sport in terms of the anti-doping program, because that is another worry that we have, that we want to take a clean team. So what they have is they have athletes who are on the national registered testing pool, so we know that those athletes are tested regularly. And the International Swimming Federation and the IAAF also have athletes who are on their registered testing pool, so we know that those athletes are on the international program. So our worry is that those athletes who will just come through and qualify, we just want to make sure that everyone who gets on the plane to London will be tested and certified injury free.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'll invite the CEO. After CEO, then we'll have this engagement, really. And on Sam, then we'll come in. What are you going to say?
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'll just focus on three aspects over and above Ms. Shabangu's presentation. The first one is around resources in terms of funding the athletes, their preparation and delivery to the Games. On the 7th of February, we had a meeting with the Honorable Minister Mbalula when he met the SASCOC board and indicated to us that we needed to use these officers and any other stakeholder to try and resource the team. Ezra mentioned that we have secured funding from the lottery board as well as from sponsor sector as well as the IOC. But essentially we are still, together with my president, looking for between 20 to 30 million rand to help the full team and the athletes that need to qualify. So critical is selection policy. And, you know, if you, like Ezra said, if you look at our website, you'll find the agreed policy per sport that we engaged with. And what we're appealing is that we get support in relation to understanding the policy. And when we apply the policy, very often when one doesn't qualify based on the policy, then you'll find public outcry and athletes trying to engage other stakeholders to say that what SAFCOC is doing is incorrect and so on. So I think it's important that there's an understanding around the policy, and if ever there is such a query, that it is engaged with us so we can explain the policies that we have in place, particularly that it was agreed with the different sport types or different sport codes. And then the third one is just on the national sports plan. We are still awaiting the plan, the finalized plan from Sport and Rec South Africa. We are aware that they are due to engage the plan with Cabinet and the other stakeholders. And once that is in place, then the Ministry will engage with SASCOP for us to unpack the plan and the responsibilities that accrue to Sport and Rec South Africa as well as SASCOP. So those are essentially the three items that I thought I would mention here in terms of a process going forward. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO. Well, I think members, we can then engage on the presentation. Any member want to raise a point?
For your presentation, and it's clear that SASCOC is at work, and one appreciates the preparations. But first, Mel Shiva will be going to the docket at 11. Then the other issue is that the resources which you have just alluded to. CEO, do we engage with people like this organization of Mutas Patel for assistance to assist some private sectors so to get the necessary resources, because we will need those resources. We don't want a situation where we come back again with one matter. So I think that we have to look at those things really urgently. The issue of the selection, Mr. Bangu, you did illustrate that when these things need to be presented to you, one would like that to happen. I think you do have time frames. But for you, if you have to intervene, to say that we are not happy with this team, that is also to be done in time. So as for them to identify and make this team a rainbow nation, really. You indicated that winter sports were not doing good. One would also like to know which codes are there so that we, as we come from these various provinces, can also look what is happening really with those codes. So there's to assist some of them.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Tove.
Another round of questions so that one must not go lo 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 lo.
can I be clarified as to what is meant when people say you must first rank top 8 worldwide? What does that mean to an ordinary person who comes from the township? The second question, I saw a list of a list of people who are in committees, but when I check the numbers are very little, and I know the same person has just said, you know, what do you do, or what do you do as a country to see to it that everything is shared amongst everybody in this South Africa of us. Another question is around women. I've observed that, and that's my personal observation, if I'm not watching or listening, please correct me, that in women's sports, I've never seen teams or clubs playing provincially to lead to a national team. I just want to check, how do you draw women, hockey and soccer, to finally become a national team? Where do you get them? Because we are having complaints in our communities that there's no tournament that leads to provinces playing each other, especially for women. The third question is that Oxy South Africa, what is the relationship? And I don't see anywhere where boxing is mentioned around Olympics. And the last question will be around the relationship with SAPA in particular. Can we be at least told what is the relationship? Thanks, Chairperson, for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate the fact that I heard today that funding will be there to support federation. But I'm concerned about the time frame, because I'm asking myself now that 5 months away from the Olympic Games, will we send there a venue team that will represent us in the game? For an example, we've seen in South Africa, we know that some of the staff members of Team South Africa had actually started looking for jobs elsewhere because they were in dire need for funds. So as a result, I'm just asking myself whether are we doing enough to support our athletes, especially, you know, in preparation of the Olympics. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the my honourable colleague has just discussed one of the points about swimming, which I endorse. Firstly, I'd just like to thank the presenters for their presentation. And before we get into the questions, I'd like to also say well done to the South African women's hockey team, which has put in a fantastic performance and done the nation proud. I also want to talk about funding. As you'll remember, Mr. President, that at the last Olympics there was a major problem where you didn't get funding on time, and a lot of it came just before or just after the Olympics. I just want to make sure, touching on that point again, that this time we are fully funded on time. We spoke about the selection criteria. I haven't personally looked at that webpage, but is there any controversy in that selection criteria? For example, if you look at Team Swimming SA and the people who are getting support, and then I look at maybe athletics, there seems, is there a different criteria, and why is there that criteria? I'd like you to answer that, please. How many athletes do you expect to be in Team South Africa once the deadline, I think you said June the 30th, comes along, because we don't know. Honourable Cora mentioned that one medal was unacceptable. So what I'm asking you now, since 2009, how many athletes do we have in, let's say, the top five ranking in the world currently who we honestly believe, whether it be team or individual, that can achieve medals for our country? And then going to my last point is boxing. It's just pitiful. We have one boxer I see getting financial support. And I think it, Chairperson, I think this goes to the heart of the demise of boxing in our country. It's very, very sad. I remember some 10 years ago in the Ring magazine, South Africa was going to be regarded as the next best thing for boxing in this, you know, in the world. But, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Behind the bushes in the Eastern Kingdom. And this is what I
Later on, Honourable Chair and members, which I really want to address, if we really are serious about South African sport. The people are there. They want to go out and play sport. We fail as a country to give them the infrastructure. You cannot blame them when they go into taverns. You have no right to blame them when they go into taverns. We are failing the girls in basketball. You know basketball, you need to dribble. It's a muddy pitch in one part of the Eastern Cape that I visited. It's a mud pitch. How do you dribble in basketball on a mud pitch? I'll leave the technical aspect, but I want to come back to this, Honorable Chair, if you're going to allow me to do so.
Absolutely allow you to come in. We will engage you, though, because we are here also really to be engaged. For all of us, we are interested to drive the sport in our country to a world-class performing sport. So that's what we want, really. We want a world-class performing sport. And I think we'll engage you on those issues and the network. Yes, sir.
Honorable Chair, I'll just try and answer some of the questions that were raised. The issue of selection in time, if you notice that in one of the slides we had provisional squads or long list. So what happens is the federation give us the long list of their athletes. For instance, we've got the 23rd of March as a deadline to have accredited all those people in London. So we get the long list. And anyone that they select, there may be those athletes that will come from outside. However, we will then handle those issues differently. But we say to the federation, give us anyone that you believe will qualify. So for instance, I mean, women's football is going to squad up about 50 or so, but only 18 will go. So similarly with hockey. In athletics, we've been doing the probabilities and the possibilities. We've got a squad of close to 70 athletes that we're looking at. And all those athletes will be accredited for London. However, once they then either meet the selection or not meet the selection, we will then cut or add accordingly when we do the final delegation registration meeting where we're now saying this is our final team for London. And then in terms of the winter sports, I mean, as you know, especially the entire African continent, we're not necessarily a winter continent except for Lesotho that has a winter sports facility. Some of those sports include like skating, which, I mean, they use the few ice rinks that we have in the country, which is one of the issues we've been saying to snow sport, that we have to find means to ensure that the winter sports gets covered. And the athletes that normally go to the winter sports are the athletes who are based in France or overseas, where they then get to train extensively. Some of boat play, I mean, all of you may know the Jamaican story in terms of boat play and skiing and so forth. So those are some of the winter sports that are part of the Olympic and Paralympic program. In terms of the ranking, basically it's different for each sport. Some sports you have like swimming or athletics, it's the issue of distance, it's the issue of time. Whereas in terms of the para sports, in terms of table tennis, you have to collect points like in tennis as well. So you play certain tournaments where you collect a number of points, and those points put you in a particular bracket in terms of the world ranking. So the world rankings, I mean, for instance, tennis, for instance, happens all the time, and that's one of the debates we've been having with tennis, to say our guys have to play in all these ATP tournaments for them to be able to generate points, similarly to cycling, where they have to go to the tournaments, collect a certain number of points for them to be ranked in the particular bracket. So what we say is, even though our athletes in Africa will be number one, but when they get pulled into the international ranking, they outside that top 20 because of the number of points they have generated. In terms of the issue of women, the president has covered that. But the one question that was raised as well was that in terms of women playing to get to the national teams, what happens is the national federations are the ones responsible for that particular system. For instance, in hockey, they will have the inter-provincial tournament. So the clubs will have to then select their players to go into a provincial tournament where then they then get selected for the provincial team that will go to a national tournament where they then select the national team. However, the coaches and some of the scouts will go to the various tournaments to actually pick up who are the good athletes, and the technical teams of the federation are the ones that normally are responsible for that. In terms of the issue of swimming that was raised, try to be as fair as possible. We obviously look at what the FINA policy was saying in terms of the 8 times and the Olympic invitational times that they put in. And what we have done is to say, for us, because we use history, where Swimming South Africa will only have the provincial, the national selection trials in April, and people go to the games. But then we say, athletes need to prove themselves. So for board athletics and swimming, we're saying from the World Championship, you need to have clocked an 8:45 time. But then you need to repeat that time closer to the game so that you actually prove that I can consistently perform at this particular level. So that's how we have done it. And only for 2016, where we say for the B qualifying time, if that is a young athlete that is still eligible to participate in 2016, we will consider that B qualifying time. So we have put that as a rider as well. Even though some of the federations have tried to bring, you know, the golden oldies to try and qualify for 2016, and we're saying, but in terms of your sport, this particular athlete will be like 32, for instance, like gymnastics. There's no way you'll have a 32-year-old participating in gymnastics because they should get the age. And in terms of the team numbers, well, we've done, in terms of the possibilities, we're saying we can take plus minus 151, 159 athletes. And in terms of probabilities, we had about 86. However, hockey has now qualified, so we're now confident that we will take just over 100 athletes to the game. And obviously, if the men's hockey team qualifies well, then our number goes back to close to 160, which is what we're hoping for in terms of our probabilities.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'll attempt to address the question around swimming and the funding. Just for clarity, in the first instance, the National Federation is seen as autonomous, and then thereafter the Olympic Committee looks at athletes, and that's why we have what we call Operation Excellence. What we say to the Federation is, once you're identified onto Operation Excellence, we as SASCOC or the Olympic Movement fund that preparation. Whatever money you then have, or you've accessed as a federation, you focus on athletes at the next tier to bring them up to a level where they could actually then be brought onto Operation Excellence. If you looked at the figures, we've spent up to now about 34 million. We are due to spend on Operation Excellence athletes, both on Olympic and Paralympic team, another 24 million by the end of the games, which money we have. However, what I've been talking about is those athletes that are now qualifying, that are not on Operation Excellence, that qualify and need some support in the run-up to the games, that's where we're looking for the extra funding. In relation to the private sector, we have approached the private sector, we've engaged with SuperSport, we are doing those things. And like I said earlier, Honourable Minister Mbalula has also put his shoulder to the wheel to help us to access the funding that we're looking for. In relation to the committees, I agree that that is something that we look at all the time, the composition of the committees. However, we also have programs within SASCOC that we have embarked on in terms of an education program so that we can get all the people of the country represented in those committees. The other side of the coin is that those positions are all voluntary. And sometimes when we identify people in terms of volunteering, first question is, how much are we going to get paid? Otherwise, we're not interested. So that's also a little bit of a challenge. I think the rest of the questions were answered. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Honorable members, another member wants to make some follow-up or engage on issues.
Comrade President, we are speaking in terms of the infrastructure, and you mentioned back and forth. Do we at SASCOC also engage with the provincial sports departments so as to highlight this which you picked up around this infrastructure thing? Because they do get these grants from the department. The other issue is a concern about the support. support for Banyana Banyana from SAPA. The matches which they have to prepare them, have to keep them engaged so that they don't lose the momentum. I think we should do that because really if you look at the kind of support which Banyana Banyana gets from SAPA, it's not adequate. So I think that is the one thing which we also need to get involved in. I know that we are supposed to give a report on the way to London. But there was this issue of match fixing about Bafana Bafana. Are we engaging them? The reason why I'm raising this thing, we should not leave these things for too long. We've seen what has happened in cricket. So if we don't engage these things at an early stage, so as to arrest them, we will end up with another commission. So I just want us to do that. My last point, Sascock, is, you know, I've got a problem with some of the federations, more especially rugby. You know, if you look at rugby, each province has its own constitution, which is not flowing into the national constitution, and which makes it difficult for the mother body to intervene if there are things which goes wrong. For instance, if you can remember, I spoke to you last night, Honorable President, around the issue of Western Province. If we say we want to develop sport, then we should not destroy sport. If we take a club to a DC, that must be for terms of assisting and rehabilitating that team. But if you say that a club must pay 180,000 rand before it can play a match, then you are destroying it. So I just want really Sascock to look at the sports movement into such issues. Because I don't want to end up sounding like a racist. But when two people fight, you can't just punish the one, and the one got off scot-free. And I want to say this, that this is the second time in this province. Heidelberg rugby team was suspended for 15 years. If you do that, you are killing, you are saying that these kids must go and get involved in debt and in drugs. So can I please be assisted in this team? Thank you.
Honorable Duga, Honorable Musi, Honorable Mackenzie.
Yes. Thanks again, Chairperson. I know one will be saying people must not predict, but when you make a budget, always you have some smaller Nyana figures around, you know, the things that you are going to do that money. I just wanted to find out. Usually we always see an imprint of officials going to places more than the real people. So can you please assist us as to at least how many? Are the officials going to be more than players, or they are going to be equal? The second question is around the, you know, I suspect that there's a screening committee somewhere. In the screening committee, do you think people can predict as to grace is fit? Grace has gone through that process that you said people go through, doctors and medical, whatever, and Grace can bring a medal. How do you predict? Are we going to bring one medal again with the whole 100 people who go in there? Or what is your prediction around that?
Honorable Moose, thank you, Chairperson. It's some kind of a follow-up type of a question on what we're going to indicate that to the department. But again, I'm checking, seeing that you know, the terrible side where there is no privacy, you know, not only for women but for men as well. Is SASCOC having anything in plan to perhaps try to alleviate that or try to better that situation? That is my first question, sir. My second question would be, SASCOC, especially the president, came, I'm sure it was year before last, and indicated to this house that, you know, we keep on complaining and saying there are lack of sporting facilities, but if you go to provinces and get to their where these facilities are kept, you will see them packed up to rafters. We indicated that to the department. I still want to check. I want to check now. Are they still there? Or did the department do something about it? Because we want to do a follow-up on it. And then the last one, Chair, would be on the issue of mascots. We really buy these niggers in ourselves, and we actually want to, you know, take part or engage in that. Can they perhaps briefly indicate to us of what is required to participate in that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable McKen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a follow-up. I did ask earlier, how many medals did you think we had a possibility of winning? I'm not going to put you on the spot, but no one gave us an answer, and I hope it's more than one, Mr. President. On the issue of facility, and I just want to say to you that we in KZN, for example, and looking at the new school sports plan, the national sports plan, working with education department, something we've forgotten, which has happened, a lot of the old Model C schools that have now been transformed, where the demographics have changed completely, but the teachers have left. It's created a massive void where sports is not being played at those institutions. So you have literally hundreds of facilities. And in KZN, we're doing an audit right now, particularly for rugby, but it touches on cricket, it touches on netball, basketball, swimming, all sorts of sports across the spectrum. There is a massive amount of infrastructure that's there and not being used by the majority of the people in this country. In other words, those schools aren't elite white schools anymore. They are being attended by a full cross-section of our population. Is anything, have you, as SASCOC, identified that? Because I think in terms of the sports plan and in terms of talent identification and facilities, this is an opportunity that should not be missed and should be identified as a way to achieving excellence. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robert McCain. Well, let me hand it over to, but I think, President, I think, if you can just also assist us to address the question of development and transformation of sport in our country. And because I think it's a central issue that we must address from time to time. I'm aware, of course, that the federations are running their affairs. And also just to address the issue of the new body that we met, also the National Sport Council, the interaction with some of the federations yourself. And then surely as a federation, they run their affairs, but of course we interact with them from time to time. And I do think that we do have a stick door, to ensure that federation also deal with matters the way they should. But also to address an issue that has been raised several times. I'm not sure that I'm correct on this one, CEO. That the real problem is not
really necessary resources. It's a poor organization. In fact, even if we can tomorrow have money like manna falling from the sky, it wouldn't produce better world-class athletes. If we are so poorly organized, even federation, some of them are poorly organized. Is it not that a bigger problem that even if you do have billions of friends, that organization wouldn't do anything? Because organization is very central for development of sport. And it would be very good to hear what is your comment, President, because I think you have been involved in sport for many years. And because unless we address the main issue, we may, of course, there's a lot of comparison in a way. There's a lot of other research that has been comparison research in South Africa versus the poor countries, but we're performing far better than ourselves. And I think the Kenyans generally look at not less than 4. But it matters often, really. What are we expecting us anyway to, without putting you, President, on the spot, and then hoping that we'll get something that will make all of us very excited, at least, that are changes that are taking place on the ground. But I think organization really was addressing, to me, the bigger problem. Unless we are properly organized, whether we are boxing South Africa or Sanapo, or the rugby, or the swimmers, I think we must address some of these issues. But I wanted you to comment on the broader issue, President, because you've been involved in the transformation of our sport and development, and also the essence of organization is a precursor for us to have a world-class performing sport.
I think I should take this opportunity now to address this honorable gathering here on a broad range of issues, and I will touch on all these issues that have been raised here. Let me immediately get to the immediacy of going to London. Honourable members, you are asking us, as the sports movement of this country, to board a plane in July and go and compete against countries like Australia that came to this country, Honourable Chair, and told us that in the preparation of their squad to go to London, they used $3 billion Aussie dollars. My high performance in the field talking about 33 million. That being so, Honourable Member McKenzie, we as South Africans will go with guts and glory and compete in London. I hear what you say, that it's not an issue of money. The cyclists that we are going to take along will be competing against the UK cyclists that had £27 million multiplied by 9 or 12. By that. We are going to compete against them, Honourable Member Dugan. We are going to compete against them. Yes, we will board that plane and we will go out there and compete. And now I can tell you, Honourable Member McKenzie, we are going for 12 medals. We are not going to stop there. We are going for 12 medals. It is up to this country to decide that you are ambitious. Then I need to fire him, I need to fire her and say that, what's your business in sport? Any country that says at the beginning of a cycle they don't know what they want to achieve need not go to the Olympics. That's the first point. So I've answered that question. Honourable Chair, development. We come, as you rightly say, from a long history of involvement in sport. You're quite correct. When we were involved in sport then, our goals were very clear. You know the battles we had in the old Transvaal. You know the battles, those of you from Western Cape here. You know the battles of Natal then. We drove miles and miles because we knew exactly what we were looking for. It all became blurred after 94. We started chasing things that Madam Dubin. That's why you see that commission looks like that. Our people started relaxing. Our people started relaxing, and the first thing they would ask the CEO is that, how much are you going to give me? And the CEO will then say, but that person is going to do. And when you look at the team, you must come to the farewell. When we look at the team that will be accompanying our athletes, you will see that it's an imbalanced team. Imbalanced because those who are supposed to be on board and work from the township of Nyanga Ikubuletu, the people are not there. It's not anybody holding them back. It is just that the CEO will say, I need you at Stellenbosch. And the Comrade Cora, he will say, how much are you going to give me for the bus fare? It is an economic issue that we're dealing with, Honorable Chair. And those are the issues that we will have to face squarely. That's why I'm coming to you today with these members who are in the offices and seeing the frustration day after day. Let me give you a simple example. In Hammanskraal, Honorable Chair, Hammanskraal is a sport that they practice very widely. They're called roller skating. One of the boys, Honorable Members, went onto a plane unaccompanied, and he went to Italy and he won a gold medal. Do you know about that? Now, because in this country, let us accept it now, if you're outside the three top sports, you are nothing. And we, as lawmakers, we allow that to happen. You allow that to happen as lawmakers to continue. That outside the rugby, football, and cricket, the rest of them are nothing. He went on his own, that young boy from Hammanskraal in the rural areas there. Got onto a plane, and he was just told that when you get to the airport, look for so and so. And he competed against the rest of the world in roller skating, and he brought a gold medal. Did you make any sense there? No. Because, you know, that's not rugby, it's not football. Honorable members, honorable chair, our Minister for Finance raises issues in Parliament. Not once did he talk about sport. And in 2010, when it was football, every meeting in Parliament was football. We are going to the Olympics, we don't even get a mention. We don't even get a mention, honorable members. And you want us to do, what do you want us to do? You want us to perform. We don't even get to mention that this year is the year of the Olympics and our country will be represented in London. Not a single mention. How do we feel? Working so hard to get us to London. How do we feel? So I'm asking that when we talk about the whole issue of sport in this country, we have to look into what we are doing very, very closely. Now let me talk about the real bread and butter issues. Yes, you're right, Honorable Chair. The thing is not about money. Because in those days, we traveled by bus and by taxi to get to Kimberley and organize sport in Kimberley. It was not about money. And when we were there, we went to Mr. Reddy's house in the evening and we joined ourselves and we continued our meeting that we did not finish. About money. This thing is about passion. We have to stand up, Comrade Cora, we have to stand up in public now and say, people of this country, as probably the minister rightly said, we are not going to point, I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm saying that the South African public will have to take stock of what they want in the various sectors. If sport is number 20 on our list, tell the country. Don't, because you're going to have these kind of things every day. If it's number 20, you know, in 1998 we were in Malaysia, fighting there to get medals against all these Commonwealth countries. And former president Thabo Mbeki, when we sat in there, said, "Chief, but we're betting here with money." He said, "Okay, we have housing, we have hospitals, we have got the roads, we've got that." Yes, let us talk like that. Let us then say that, "People, can you just stand in the queue for the next 20 years? And we will know that we would better go and look after our chickens and sell eggs. There will be no business for us in school. There will definitely be no business for us." So I'm saying that we are going to go through all these things and have all these problems. But I think it is also proper for us to do this. And now, as I sit down, Honorable Chair and Member, I am going to appeal to you now, very strongly. At this point in time, in our preparation, we are not short of 30 million. We are short of 15 million. 5-0. And I want to appeal to you that you assist us to go to the minister and make that 50 million against the 30 billion that we had for 2010. We're asking only 50 million. And I'll tell you why. Precisely because of what Honorable Member Cora is saying. Those girls in Bafana, Banyana, Banyana will be shortchanged. They will never get the incentives that we've given to Bafana, Bafana. I'm appealing to you. It is only 50 million that we ask these members to go and assist us and ask for a special grant just to clean up. Because if you send a cricket team to New Zealand, a cricket team to India, with all those incentives, and you've got a Chad Lacrosse in swimming, he brings you over 20 medals, and not a single soul approaches him for money, then he must pay. He must at least incentivize. I expect the CEO to then say, "Okay, Chad, well done. Because government has given a special grant, here we go, you can go and buy some ice cream." I'm appealing to you. If that is not going to happen, yes, fine, we will do with a little bit. But please, you cannot then sit here and say to us, "Yes, you took a team out, Mr. Sam and Tabby Reddy, with pyjamas." Pyjamas we will wear because that's all we've got. We will wear the pyjamas because that is all we've got. If it does embarrass you, it embarrasses us too, but it embarrasses the whole country. I'm appealing to you that, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, let us go out there and find the person. I cannot go to Super Sport. We are paying Super Sport for that program that you see every month. How much money? 1.4 million. Why? Because our own SABC. Do you know the story? It's always pleading poverty. Always pleading poverty. And yesterday, I met the new CEO, and she said, "Please do not embarrass me. Let us sit down and talk." But as it stands now, there is nothing coming from the SABC. Our own. So where do we go to? We go to Super Sport. And Super Sport says, "We are running a business here. This is not charity. 1 point whatever." I'm appealing to you to clean up, just to finish up our hard work that started in 2009. Please give us the 50 million. Just to clean up, and we will go out there and we will, Honorable McKenzie, I'm saying to you, we are not going for one medal. Otherwise, I would definitely not be on that plane. We are going for 12 medals. And whatever happens, I want you to come back and say, "We tried." Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, President. Well, I think you have.
What he has But all that I want to say is we must not expect. You see, we come from far, and we need to motivate those young people who have talent to focus on the bigger picture. Because, you know, when you start, you cannot start rich, but you end up being rich only when, you know, you keep on keeping on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think President, you have articulated some of the issues. But I do think that I always take a view that money is very important, but it's not the thing that makes sports succeed. And because then you can pour billions of land in a problem, one solve the problem. Then I think the level of organization in our federation is a bigger problem. What makes the tree to be shining example, generally speaking, is the manner in which they are organized. Therefore, the private people want to make money out of them. They sponsor them very well because they are absolutely organized. Not 100%, but they are really organized. Surely no one put money to something that is unorganized. A business person wouldn't do that. Generally, something that is unorganized. I think we must try, I think, SASCOC in particular, to assist us to ensure that the mass participation in sport, the school sport, become the real success. Because it's when you're going to tap your talent on, the potential will be there. And I think we hear your cries. And surely, I think all of us must work together to ensure that we do our sport. And of course, money is very scarce, generally speaking. There are many, many issues that need more money to address. But I think sport is very important. All of us are taking it very serious. And I think we wish well. And then I guess we wish our team very well. And I think we'll compete with the best in the world. And then we'll win. You will win. We'll be with you there. Even if you are not there, but you know that we are with you to ensure that we work on that. And I think relevant structures then should be approached by you to request them to assist you really to ensure that you take the team there with necessary resources that are necessary for you to perform at the highest level. Honorable member, I'm not sure if there are other issues that you want to raise. CEO, we are happy now. 12. That would be a shame, man. But let us organize ourselves better. And I know that you have been doing this thing all over South Africa a long time ago. Surely that spirit shouldn't disappear. You can still take a bath to Johannesburg. There are more buses now. We take a bus to Johannesburg to Limpopo and still have this passion of organized sport. Because if all of us we don't do that, I don't think sport will organize by itself. We will need Shabam, we will need everyone really to assist us to organize this. So it's a very important area of work. With passion, I think we can turn around the issues and then we can have a very performing people. So that's even ourselves as members, we do have our own club here. I'm not sure how many members are participating. I know that I'm a good spectator. But I think we should address some of these issues seriously, and we think we should do so. I don't want you to be delayed if members really have exhausted issues that they wanted to raise with you. As we said again, it's not the first and the last engagement. We are going to engage forever to the question of sport. And hopefully also work with other federations that are there. And then tennis is a very important thing. In other countries, tennis is very important. And in other countries, there will be sports that are more important in other countries, dominant to other sports. But I think for you as the Olympic team, you need every sport to be as important as any other sport. I think that's the point that you are raising. And honorable members, I think we shouldn't delay them if we have exhausted what we think wanted to raise with them. President.
As the last, the party
short, Honorable Chair and members. I think when we do, especially at our President's Council, we have one or two in a year?
One
in a year, and the next one will be in Kimberley. When we do invite, come and hear the Federation speak. We always invite, and we would like you to come along and share in our sessions with the President how they feel about on the ground. And then I think the last thing is that we do know that there was interaction with our provincial council. That is exactly what we're trying to get to, development right where it is needed. We're trying to empower those councils so that they work in the districts and in the localities and feed into the federation so that we then can say, this is what is happening and not happening. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, we are invited to do it. And I think members will make themselves available to attend it here. Because we are interested also in sport. We also have passion for sport because it's very important. Sport is absolutely very important for us. Okay, honorable members. CEO, you are fine. Shaba, you are fine. And then thank you for your presentation and thank you for this engagement. We will meet when you are back from London, I guess. You will get 13, really, not 12. Go for the best. You will win. And thank you very much for that. Okay.
How many medals do you have from that? How many medals?